Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
While the dispute over collective bargaining in Wisconsin has been front page news lately, another labor dispute is making news in the country's sports pages: the stalled negotiations between the NFL Players Union and owners. The deadline to reach an agreement is tomorrow, and we have in our studio Only a Game's Bill Littlefield, who joins us right now as he does most Wednesdays. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Anthony. It's like old days.
Just
talking
like old
sports
days.
With Anthony Brooks.
Just like old days. So let's start with that NFL labor dispute. What's going on here? What are these grown men arguing about?
Well, of course, the simple answer is they're arguing over how to distribute $1 billion. The owners want all of it, and the players don't want them to have all of it. This is because the owners say that they can't make a living running these football leagues. It's getting too expensive to build stadiums and do that sort of thing. The more complicated answer is they're arguing over power. I think the National Football League Players Association is trying for the first time really to establish itself as a legitimate union. In the past, the only really legitimate sports union has been the Baseball Players Union, thanks to Marvin Miller. And the football players are trying to, you know, establish themselves as a real honest-to-goodness partner in collective bargaining rather than just a company union.
So a deadline tomorrow. What happens if the deadline passes and they don't reach agreement?
That is, of course, the multi-billion-dollar question. Nobody knows. The union could decertify. The players could be locked out. Any number of games could be eventually lost. But I don't think anybody really knows what's going to happen.
And, you know, so a fight over, you know, how to divvy up billions and billions of dollars. On what side does a thoughtful sports commentator and host fall on this debate?
Well, this particular sports commentator and host isn't a bit worried, because I see the real possibility that more and more people will pay attention to soccer if football is absent the sports calendar for a year or two.
Okay. Well, I'm glad
you remain neutral on this issue.
Of
course, I hope that this will be settled, as I hope that all disputes will be settled.
All right. Well, let's hope they get it resolved before the start of the season. They have a little time. In the meantime, we have the NHL, and the Boston Bruins are doing very well.
Six road wins in a row, first time they've done that since 1972. And guess how the 1972 postseason ended?
They did well, but Stanley Cup.
Yeah, yeah. Lord Stanley's chalice came back home where it belongs.
Where it belongs.
As George Carter would say.
So there's hope in Boston that that we could get that back again.
They're in great shape. I mean, you win six games in a row, there's considerable momentum. They're 37-19, third place, just barely behind Philadelphia at this point. They're in great shape.
And speaking of championships to come, the Boston Red Sox, of course, are tearing up the spring training field down there. Why even have the field? We know that they're going to win the World Series.
You're another one of those fellows who's convinced their off-season acquisitions have cinched another title. They're 2-1 in meaningless spring training games. As we speak, they're playing, I believe, the Braves in another equally meaningless spring training game. The only sad news is Josh Beckett took one off the coconut, as former Red Sox manager Joe Morgan was wont to say. Got hit with a baseball and a slight concussion, and probably will miss a start. And then the only good part about that was it gave manager Terry Francona the opportunity to talk to the press about all the concussions that he had suffered, one of which happened when he fell over and hit his head on a table, another of which happened when he dove into a car and hit his head on a teammate's knee when he was in high school. It's kind of amazing Terry Francona has gotten to be as old as he has, given all these concussions that he's talked about.
That is amazing. Now, I understand a couple of teams in the preseason have been playing, using an unusual pitcher for batting practice.
For the first time in Major League history, a woman has pitched batting practice, and she's pitched to not one but two teams. So this is Justine Siegel. She grew up a Cleveland Indians fan, and my sympathies to her for that. But she pitched batting practice to both the Indians and the Oakland A's, and they both reported that she did just fine.
That's fantastic. Now, you spoke to her, correct?
I did indeed. And I asked her, as a matter of fact, when I spoke to her, which team had hit her harder, the Indians or the A's?
To say, I would say that the A's were having a little fun with it and they're trying to hit their home runs, and the Indians were more in their regular rounds. You know, I was just a part of their practice. The A's were having fun with it. Coco Chris was hilarious, just making fun comments, calling me ponytails and that type of thing, and just a good time.
Well, a good time. That was Justine Siegel, first female to pitch batting practice. Bill, we should mark the passing of the great baseball player this week, Duke Snider.
Yeah, we once had Willie Mickey and the Duke, and now we have Willie.
Yeah,
Mickey long gone, of course, and Duke Snider died at the age of 84. Memorable for many reasons, but as much as any reason, because he was so closely associated with the old Brooklyn Dodgers, such a hero to fans at Ebbets Field. And for those of us of a certain age, the memories are fading, but the loss of Duke Snider is a milestone Ebbets Field era.
You mentioned Mickey, Willie, and the Duke, and of course Willie Mays, Duke Snider, Duke Snider, and Mickey Mantle. Sort of a contest between the three great fielders who once played for New York teams.
If you grew up in that area, as I did in northern New Jersey, you were either a Duke Snider guy, a Mickey Mantle guy, or a Willie Mays guy. And of course, as a child, I never understood how anybody could pick anyone other than Willie Mays. But, yeah, you could be for one of them. You certainly couldn't be for more than one. And it was great fun that they were all playing in such close proximity to each other when New York, if you count Brooklyn, had three teams.
Well, that was quite a time. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Tony.
WBUR's Bill Littlefield hosts Only a Game every Saturday at 7 a.m. and then again at 7 p.m. You can also hear him here most Wednesdays right here on Radio Boston.
We've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, the Peace Corps turns 50 this year.
In today's Talker, we'll discuss the changing role of the organization founded by President Kennedy in 1961. Were you a Peace Corps volunteer? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.